Welcome to the Homily Studio for Palm Sunday, which is Sunday the 29th of March, the end of March, and the great celebration of Palm Sunday beginning Holy Week. Wherever you are listening, you are welcome. We enter this Holy Week together, aware that many of the sufferings, the anxieties, the worries, the concerns, the struggles, the poverty of Holy Week for Jesus are being experienced in our world at this time. So it's bringing us home to the reality. And here to chat about the scriptures, Palm Sunday, the reality of the world today, we have...
Lucien from Wellington Archdiocese.
Here, Koto Katoa. My name is Jelvin. I work for Te Kupinga Catholic Leadership Institute. I'm based in Auckland.
Hi, everybody. My name's John Kinder. I grew up in Palmerston North, but I've lived in Perth, Western Australia for most of my life, where I'm now enjoying splendid retirement.
Are you still growing up, John, or did that stop when you left New Zealand?
Well, I turned 70 recently, John, so I think that the growing up process is about to begin, actually. I'm beginning to understand a few things.
Thanks be to God. I hope you share them with us. Let's take a moment of prayer as we begin. Prayer not being an interruption in our lives, but really the way that we desire, that we need to live all of our life in a disposition of openness to God, awareness of the divine presence among us in the midst of whatever the anxieties, whatever the struggles are, especially in this Holy Week, as we pray in the entrance antiphon for Palm Sunday, 6 days before the Passover, when the Lord came into the city of Jerusalem, the children ran out to meet him. In their hands they carried palm branches, and with a loud voice cried, "Hosanna in the highest. Blessed are you who have come in your abundant mercy. Hosanna in the highest." Well, there's that Hosanna word, which is the word we only use on this occasion. What can we say about, of course, today we won't try and sort of pick on any of the scriptures in particular, because we know the theme, Jesus' entry to Jerusalem, the reading of the Passion that we have at the liturgy today. What do we want to say in this conversation?
When I realized that I'd signed up to talk with you about Palm Sunday, I thought, oh my gosh, what have I done? What can I possibly say about the gospel, you know, that hasn't already been said, you know? The greatest story ever told, story we've heard every year of our lives. What on earth can I say? So anyway, I sat down and began reading from the beginning of Mass, you know, so the antiphon that you just read. And then I read the first reading and the psalm and the second reading. And I was immediately stopped in my tracks by those. And in a sense, you've already touched on it, John, because at the beginning you mentioned poverty. And that's what strikes me in the first two readings. And so when I came to the gospel, I came to the gospel through the first two readings. And I realized that the gospel's for me, actually. It happened for me. Jesus did all that for me. The church puts this gospel here for me. And it offers me these stories, these events, to me in my poverty. In my poverty. And the first reading, the prophet, it sounds like he's trying to be a tough guy. If you look at the end of the first reading, "I've set my face like flint. I did not cover my face." But he's not trying to be a tough guy at all, because he begins the first reading by saying, "The Lord has taught me to listen." The Lord has opened my ear. Each morning he wakes me to hear, to listen like a disciple. And so that's how I started reading the Passion, thinking to myself, the church is speaking to me here, inviting me to be like Isaiah. Each morning, God wakes me to listen, to hear. And that's why Isaiah can be so tough and turn his. He didn't. I offered my back. I did not cover my face. Not because he's a tough guy, but because everything in him is listening out for the presence of God in every moment. And that's what makes him able to put up with anything.
Well, Lucien just mentioned how beautiful John's reflection is, and I really agree. And I think we all have the same thought on these readings. Like when I saw I'm on for Palm Sunday, I thought, oh my dear, what can I say? And I thought we deliberately kept our introductions short so we can talk more about the readings, because we can all have different things to say here, and that's fair enough, because the readings are there's a long gospel, and there's even the gospel well the palms are. We have procession during the palms, but I'd like to look at the well, I was looking at the first reading and the gospel. The readings are somber for today, and every time I hear these readings at Mass, I have a rush of mixed emotions, sadness, anger, frustration, dismay, grief, doubt, pity, and then at the end, I feel relief and gratitude because Christ did not stay in the tomb but resurrected. Well, I'm just reflecting at, which character can I resonate with this time? And among all those characters that the writer of Matthew's gospel described, who do I resonate with? Or am I the one experiencing suffering or injustice and called unto God, my God, why have you forsaken, why have you abandoned me? Which is our song for today. So that's where my initial reflection took me. It's a lot of questions there.
Well, I found myself kind of stuck with the second reading, the Christ emptying himself. And kind of just reflecting on how am I to enter this, not just Palm Sunday, but it's the entrance of Holy Week. How am I to enter this Holy Week? And what do I need to empty myself from? I actually remember the last time I was on Homily Studio, Ash Wednesday was coming up, and we talked about freely choosing, freely choosing to follow. And now I'm thinking, what do I need to be? It's not only what am I free to choose to follow Jesus, to be with Jesus, but also what do I need to be free from in order that I can actually be with Jesus in this Holy Week? Because it's more than just remembering. I mean, when your loved one dies, every year you remember on the anniversary. You may remember, those last moments, things you said, or things that you wished you had said. But we don't just remember. We enter into Holy Week with all of our of ourselves, like you said, John, in our poverty. So this is just what I'm reflecting on. What do I need to empty myself of so that I can really be with Jesus in this coming Passion and this coming Holy Week?
Because as we're all kind of suggesting, as you've just said, Lucy, and but Jovin and John, you both began by saying, "Oh, I signed up and I suddenly realized it's Palm Sunday I've signed up for," with a bit of "What on earth will I say?" But the problem is with Palm Sunday and the other feasts, and particularly over these Holy Week and Easter days, we think, "Well, we've been here before. We got the message. It's about what happened 2,000 years ago," and we are remembering. And of course, the word remember doesn't mean just to put in our minds for a moment something that happened a long time ago. But that word remembering has that other, Paul talks about the parts of the body as being the members of the body. So what we're doing when we remember is kind of like putting ourselves back together again. We are remembering. So the event of the suffering, death, resurrection of Christ is not, it was a past event, but today it is not the past event that we remember. It is the present reality. And maybe we're in this recording just after I've written for the Feast of the Annunciation, which was a few days ago when you hear this. But the image that came to mind wasn't a traditional mother and child, Madonna and child, but in poverty, in Iran, a woman with her baby, like the look of desperation on the face of the mother. Like, there, this is the here is the where the presence of Christ is breaking and entering our world through events that we certainly didn't want. But if remembering of these events of 2,000 years ago doesn't change the way we live today, and more than just giving us a nice thought for why we celebrate the feast or the commemoration, then it's not real. And that's a shift. I'm going to encourage homilists to be very brief in homily today because the liturgy is long, but maybe if you get a chance in the newsletter to write something that people will read before the Sunday so that they come prepared to allow themselves to be a part of the passion reading.
Jelvina, I loved what you said about entering into a character, being one of the characters on the journey with Jesus on Palm Sunday. And perhaps that's one thing we can encourage our parishioners to identify with one of the characters, to be able to enter somehow into the story more, more personally and more fully.
Speaking of that, this one character really stood out to me, and I want to share this, a very minor one, the wife of Pontius Pilate. And I don't know why it struck me. I've never really noticed that before, but somehow this time she said, while Pontius Pilate was still seated on the bench, his wife sent him a message: "Have nothing to do with that righteous man. I suffered much in a dream today because of him." I don't know what the dream was all about, but somehow, in the midst of the chaos and the screaming, God has revealed himself to her, calling Jesus righteous, and that dream she had did something to her. And I think it's grace that happened. God can reveal himself to us even in the midst of this chaotic world, in the midst of our poverty, in the midst of suffering. And perhaps we just need to listen to that wee voice. And it can be really tiny and can be drowned by, the overwhelming noise, but it's really good to listen to that voice.
I love what you said, Lucien, about memory. And also, John, you explained that for us very well. And I just, You make me think of the consecration, do this in memory of me. Not to think back to something that happened and how wonderful it was, but to understand that that past is actually in the present here, you know. And if the past is in the present, I don't want to get too fancy with this, but that means that my present is also in that past. Like I'm back then in the Last Supper and with Jesus here. He's present now and I'm in the story. It's all one, you know. And so how can I remember? How can I remember these things and make them present? By emptying myself, as you said, Lucien. And the psalm's very interesting, you know. It's at and that we have it sung in our parish, and a friend of mine sings it, and he sings it without any organ accompaniment or anything. And it's this real cry, my God, why have you abandoned me? And the first three verses are all full of suffering. You know, this person's abandoned. And then verse four is completely different. I will tell of your name to the brethren and praise you where they are assembled. Think, what just happened? We've just been complaining for three verses about, you know, I'm miserable and the dogs are around me and they're tearing holes in my hands and my feet. I will tell of your name because in that the world is this place where dogs are around me and the band of the wicked beset me. But that's what the world is. I mean, look at just watch the news, you know. But that's the place where God empties himself of his godness and becomes one of us.
John, that's wonderful. I'm so pleased you made that point using the psalm because it's quite a shift. Like we've got there in the psalm, all who see me deride me, they curl their lips, they toss their heads. You know, many dogs have surrounded me, a band of the wicked beset me, tearing holes in my hands and feet. And then we get, I will tell of your name to my brethren and praise you wherever they assembled. You see, but what had to happen first? That cry, my God, why have you abandoned me? An honest cry. And what happens when we do that is God moves us, like Christ moves us to a point where we see another perspective, that we are being held in loving embrace, perhaps certainly, especially when we suffer. The Church of Our Lady of Victories in Christchurch is a well-known church monument in the city, even built by Charles Thomas in the late 1960s. But when I was in the parish, when the church was restored again, Charles, who was into his 90s at this stage, guided a restoration process and put a crucifix where there had been no crucifix. So he designed it and worked it in stainless steel. It's quite, in some ways, it seems very modernist. But people said to him, like, what, this figure's not dead, Jesus is not dead. And he said, no. Because neither are the people who come into this church, but everyone who comes into the church is at the moment that I've tried to depict, my God, why have you abandoned me? He said, Charles said, we all know what that feels like, and that is precisely why we are there. We express honestly, without prettying it up at all, my God, why have you abandoned me? And he meets us and moves us in that.
You mentioned war and so on. I was very struck recently by something I read from the Cardinal of Jerusalem, Cardinal Pizzaballa, you know, the Italian fellow who's the Cardinal of Jerusalem. And he was talking about the fact that we have these two countries engaged in conflict. One country has attacked, United States has attacked Iran, and Iran's fighting back. And they're both calling on God. to be on their side in their different ways. And Pizzaballa, the cardinal, said, if God's in war, he's with those who are suffering. And he said in response to a few things that have been said, and I thought, gosh, it's that gets forgotten. We hear all this other stuff, and it sounds like God's on our side. Why wouldn't God be on our side? Well, they're both saying that. But it took him, and there he is in Jerusalem of all places. If God's in war anywhere, he's among those who've lost everything, who've had dogs around them, what you read out from the Psalm. That's the place where God is. And so I'm not in the middle of war, but I've got a few things to deal with. And God's waiting, is waiting for me to become open to him. I have to learn to listen. I need to wake in the morning to hear him, to listen like a disciple.
What would a take home be, given that, again, I repeat my encouragement to homilists to shorten the homily this weekend, and perhaps if you get a chance in the newsletter to encourage people to listen more carefully as disciples at the opening of the first reading. But in a very short homily, what is the one sentence that you would give today as a take home?
I mean, as I've been listening, somehow this silence is becoming, yeah, it's kind of laying heavy on my heart. Silence. It's like when you're with someone who's suffering and you just don't know what to say. You just stay with the person. So perhaps we're invited to, that silence and just to stay with Jesus and his suffering, keeping in mind all those who are suffering in the world. Sorry, that's not just a sentence. Apologies.
Well, no,
Yeah,
you're welcome.
silence and staying with Jesus. Yeah.
I was remembering just a few days ago and reminded by your sharing, Lucien, of who was it that once said, all of the world's troubles come from people's inability to sit alone in a room in silence. Now, they weren't thinking religiously, they were just thinking in terms of humanity. All of our problems come from our inability to sit in silence alone, because of course, when we do that, our reality comes to our consciousness very vividly. It's not a comfortable experience. Thanks, Lucien. Chelvin, take home.
I have a different take home that I have prepared, but during our conversation, it took me to a different path here. So I'd just like to say that we are in the middle of our story. So Jesus has suffered, died, resurrected. We know that we are saved, but where do we go from there? And it's probably an invitation to also not only after sitting in silence and reflecting, but also to act and do something, to alleviate at least one person who is suffering in our midst today.
Well, it's just, I'm going to go for verse 4 of the psalm, which is a bit bold, really, for me. I will tell of your name to my brethren and praise you where they are assembled. I was going to go like Gelvine. I've changed course a bit because of this beautiful conversation. I was all ready to say, my God, why have you abandoned me? Oh, my life is so hard and please get me out of here. But actually, he hasn't abandoned me, actually. I just need to wake up in the morning and listen. Then I'll realize. And then I want to tell of God's name to my mates. Here it says brethren, but it means mates. Well, in the Australian translation, it probably says mates. I will tell my mates of the presence of God in my life.
Well, I'd come with a take home too, which I've dropped, and I've now got three take homes, one from each of you, which I'm not allowed because that breaks all of the rules. But I will just go with one. John, you made a comment almost in passing on your way to say something else. We all think God's on our side, like, in the United States and in Iran. But me and my, I always think God's with me on my side, and it's those other people who are. But the fact is, if everyone believes God is on their side, and the sides are completely contradictory and opposed, therefore God cannot be on everyone's side. And therefore I have to face the fact that it may be my side that God isn't on. And that's a pretty vulnerable place. So if God's not on my side, because my side is not forgiving, is harmful to others, is whatever, that list could go on. Well, I feel an immediate need to get on God's side. Like, I'm going to abandon my fraught, fatal side to get on God's side, because that's where the security is. I look, it's interesting. This has been quite a it's been quite a somber, serious conversation, but I think that's totally appropriate, not only for the scriptures at the beginning of Holy Week, but also for the reality of our world, which I think we've all alluded to in different ways. And maybe we can make that our prayer intention for Holy Week. For God's sake, and for our sake, and for the sake of the world, especially those who most suffer, God, let me listen to you with the disciples here, and let me change what it is that needs to change in me, so that I can more usefully play a part in resolving what we may see as distant or international conflicts. Again, aware of the presence of God with us in the midst of our reality, whatever that is. We pray in the collect, the opening prayer for this Palm Sunday. Almighty, ever-living God, who, as an example of humility for the human race to follow, caused our Saviour to take flesh and submit to the cross, graciously grant that we may heed his lesson of patient suffering, and so merit a share in his resurrection, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
Amen.